الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فنبدأ إن شاء الله. So we start بإذن الله the beginning of the studying and revising and إن شاء الله benefiting from the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And studying hadith is an important thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidhun." Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily we have revealed the dhikr. Verily we have revealed the dhikr. And we have promised and we have assured that it will be preserved. That it will be preserved. And the dhikr, as the ulama of tafsir from Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah have explained, that the dhikr is the Quran and the Sunnah. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and He teaches them the kitab and the hikmah. And the kitab is the Quran, the book of Allah. And hikmah is the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, وَمَا يَنْتِقُوا عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. That he doesn't speak from his desires, but it is a revelation revealed to him. And studying hadith is something which the ulama of the Salaf have encouraged the people to do. As is mentioned, that Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala, was said to an individual called Hassan, he said, "Ma a'rifu an-nasu ahwaju ila talib al-hadith fi hadha zaman." Min ha'ula, he said that I have not known anyone to be in more need of studying hadith than the people of his time, the people of the time of Imam Ahmad Ikhwan. He has not seen anyone in more need for studying hadith, seeking ilm of hadith, than those of his time. Wasu'ila, and then he was asked, and he said, "Lima, why?" He said, لِذُهُورِ الْبِدَعَ لِذُهُورِ الْبِدَعَ. He said, because of the appearance of innovations. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْلُبُ الْحَدِيثِ نَخْشِ أَنْ يَقَعَ فِيهِ. And the person that does not study hadith, seek the knowledge of hadith, we fear that he will fall into it. So it is important that we seek knowledge of hadith. And that's what we're here for, ikhwan, khawat. And as Salamakum Allah, has Bishr al-Hafi said, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, لا أعلم على الوجه الأرض عملا أفضل من طالب الحديث لا أعلم على وجه الأرض عملا أفضل من طالب الحديث أو طالب العلم وطالب الحديث. He said, I do not know anything in the face of the earth. I do not know anything in the face of the earth more virtuous as in actions, more than seeking knowledge and seeking hadith, studying hadith. And he said, لَا. He said, he made a condition. Sorry, he made a condition. He said, لِمَنْ اتَّقَ اللَّهِ لِمَنْ اتَّقَ اللَّهِ For the one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the one who has taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَصَحُنَتْ أَوْ حَسُنَتْ نِيَتُهُ وَحَسُنَتْ نِيَتُهُ And his intentions have been made pure. So he doesn't know anything, any action more virtuous in the face of the earth than studying the ilm of hadith, than studying the knowledge of hadith. For the one who fears Allah, for the one who studies the hadith according to the way of the salaf, the one who studies hadith according to the sunnah, he has taqwa of Allah. وَأَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُ وَلَا تَتَّبِ السُّبَلْ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِي ذَلِكُمْ وَصَاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ And this is my straight path. Follow it and don't follow other paths because it will lead you away from his path. That I advise you with in order for you to attain taqwa. So for the one who has taqwa in studying his hadith, there's nothing more virtuous, not actually more virtuous than what you're doing. If you have taqwa, you're upon the sunnah, and your niyyah, your intention is sincere and pure for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is important that we study this, ikhwan. And as Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala, he said regarding seeking knowledge, that we're nahnu ahwaju ilayhi min at-ta'am wa sharab, that we are more in need of seeking knowledge than drinking or eating. We're more need of seeking knowledge than drinking and eating. So that which we're doing now, inshallah ta'ala, which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq in, is studying the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, revising the narrations and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from the way of the companions was to preserve the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And before that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in preserving the sunnah, he said, Uktub wa'an Abi Shah. He said, write what is Abi Shah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded them to write. Because this is the way of preserving. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uktub, from Allahi alladhi nafsi biyadi, la yakhruju minhu illa haqqa. With the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, write. Because verily, yani write from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because verily, by the one whose he souls in his hand, that nothing comes out of this mouth except the haqq. Nothing comes out of this mouth, the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he pointed to his mouth sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he ordered the companions to write, Uktubu anni, write on what I say. And he write what he says, what he does sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the inayah and the attention that the Salaf were commanded, or the Sahaba were commanded to have as it relates to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after the companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, the ulama of the Salaf, they compiled books. They compiled books. And Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, hafidhullah ta'ala, in his Muqaddimah of Bulugh Maram, in his Muqaddimah, of Bulugh al-Maram, he mentions a nice introduction to one who wants to study Bulugh al-Maram as it relates to the compilation of the hadith and the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, لَكَرَكَانَ الصَّحَابَ يَأْتَنُونَ بِالرِّوَايَ حِفْظًا. He said that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to pay attention to narrations and memorizing them. And then later on he said, regarding the Salaf, those after the companions, مِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَ تَرِيقُ الْمَسَانِيدِ. And some of the ulama after the companions, they took a path in compiling the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can call this the first one, number one. the first path in compiling the hadith and the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took the path of al-masanid, and the masanid has been an yarwi an kulli sahabi ma wurida anhu min al-ahadith, and that is that they put the compiled the books based on the companion and all of his narrations that he has in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for example, we have Musnad Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and what would be under Musnad Aisha, ikhwan? All of the narrations she narrated that is compiled. And and then they'll go afterwards to another companion. They go to another companion, Abu Huraira mathalan, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and then in that, this is the Musnad of Abu Huraira. This is the Musnad of Abu Huraira, i.e. all those narrations that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated. And those who authored or compiled books like this is, as you know, the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. The Musnad of Imam Ahmed and the Musnad of Al-Humaydi. The Musnad of Al-Humaydi and the Musnad of Shafi'i. The Musnad of Shafi'i. So what's Musnad, ikhwan? What's Musnad? Narrations. Narrations that have been collected under what? A Sahabi. A companion. And who from the ulama of hadith have compiled these works? Imam Ahmed in his Musnad, the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmed, and the Musnad of Humaydi, Al-Humaydi, and the Musnad of Al-Shafi'i. And many of the Musnad of Abi Ya'la, and the Musnad of Abi Ya'la, the Musnad of Abi Ya'la. The second type of category where the ulama have compiled the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is into something that they call al-ma'ajim. Is into al-ma'ajim. Fasannafu or fasannaf al-ahadith wufq tartib al-ithba'i. Wufq al-tartib al-ithba'i. And that is that these collection of ulama, they gathered the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah, in order to be from those who aid in the protection and the preservation of the sunnah, they gathered the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in alphabetical order of the companions, li asma'i sahaba. So the companion whose name begins with alif will be the first companion that will be mentioned, sah? He'll be the first companion that will be mentioned, and then after that, his narrations and so forth. So they did in alif ba'i. Alif ba'i, meaning in ABC, as we know in English. Yani alif ba'i, in order. In the order of the Arabic alphabet. And then the likes of this is the mu'jam of At-Tabarani, rahimahullah ta'ala, and his awsat and his saghir. Mu'jam awsat he has, so he has mu'jam al-kabir, which is the bigger version, and then he has a mu'jam awsat, which is the what? The one in the middle, awsat, wasat, in the middle, in hajm, inside, and then he has a saghir, which is the smaller. And this is an example of the efforts of the ulama of the salaf in compiling the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tabarani. Mu'jam al-Tabarani. Mu'jam Tabarani. Oh, the Ma'ajim of Tabarani has a Mu'jam. How many Ma'ajim does he have? How many of them does he have? Two or three? Three. The first one is? Kabir. Second? Awsat. And the third? Saghir. And this is in the Tartib Umuman Tartib of Alif Ba'i. Tartib of Alif Ba'i. Sinful Thalith. The third category of ulama who aided the sunnah in preserving the sunnah by compiling the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is man salaka tariqa at-tabweeb ala al-ahkam. And this is the person or the alim from the ulama of the salaf who took the path of compiling the sunnah based on chapters of fiqh, chapters of rulings, chapters of fiqh like salah, zakah and so forth. Okay, tahara, salah, zakah, siyam, hajj. Some say hajj, some say siyam, then zakah and so forth. So these chapters are based upon the chapters of fiqh, chapters of Islamic jurisprudence. And this category of people, like Imam who? Who can tell me? Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. And Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, umuman, they're called the Jawami. They're called the what? Jawami. Because they don't only just have fiqh in there. They have other chapters in there as well. Okay? They just don't have fiqh in their compilations. They have other chapters. But the key thing is that they've put their hadith in what? In chapters. In abwab. They put it in chapters of ahkam. And they have ziyada upon that. And as we know, Bukhari is the most authentic of the compilations of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to the correct opinion. And second is who? Imam Muslim, according to the correct opinion. Naam. And then we have, after that, Ashab al-Mukhtasarat. Ashab al-Mukhtasarat. And these are those people from the scholars of a hadith who have compiled the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a more summarized version. In a more summarized version. Not too many volumes, one or two volumes, in not too many a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but summarized. And which example is this? What we are doing? Bulugh al-Maram. Bulugh al-Maram. This book, this compilation by Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala, is mukhtasar. As we'll soon find, inshallah ta'ala. So yeah, so they compiled the hadith of the Prophet, not in a more summarized version. In a more summarized version. And you'd find, for example, the second category, which is the sinful thalith. So the third category. What's the third category, Ikhwan? Tabweeb, huh? Like who? Bukhari and Muslim. You'd find that theirs is more mutawwal. Theirs is more lengthy, because they also have asanid. They also mention the narrations, the narrators from each tabaka, the narrators from each section of the head, of the isnad, of the chain. But as for the likes of the mukhtasarat, like Salamakumullah, Bulugh al-Maram, mentions the hadith, and as we get closer, inshallah, to understanding his manhaj and his ta'lif, you find that he takes a more simplified path in compiling the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And these mukhtasarat obviously are different, like we have the Bulugh al-Maram, and also we have something else that we've studied, that we do. We've been studying for the past few months. What have we been studying? Huh? Umda al-Ahkam. Umda al-Ahkam is from the mukhtasarat, where he's what? Summarized the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. And this, ya ikhwan, is the juhud. We leave it as that for now. This is the juhud and the efforts of the ulama of hadith in preserving the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this shows us the importance for us to study these narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and study the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also studying the asanid. As Ibn Hibban, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, بِنِسْبَةِ مَا مِيزَ بِهِ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ مِيزَتْ بِهِ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ regarding that which this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muslims, have over every religion, are three things. And that is, and this is what we are distinct. And the first he mentioned is al-isnad. If we have isnad, ikhwan. Qal an fulan, hadathana, akhbarana, anba'ana, sami'tu. We have these asanid, these chains of narrations from the person who heard it to us here today. And that's from the preservation of the deen and the preservation of the sunnah. The second he mentioned was al-nasab, and that is lineage. And that's from the virtue of this ummah over others, that we have lineage, preserved lineage. And that is so, as most of us who know that some of us can actually name our forefathers and grandfathers and so forth. Sahih? Yes or no? Bisuhula, with ease. And this is something that is distinct in this ummah. And the third is an-nahu. The third is what? An-nahu. Yani the linguistics, the Arabic linguistics. And that is the Arabic language. The i'rab. The ability to break down a sentence from beginning to end. Whether it be within a word, like sarf, or at the end of the word, like nahu, will break it down and understand the full meaning of that sentence, of that word. And this is the virtue of al-Islam. And this is the virtue of al-Islam. And like you know, here you have Medina Book 1 and Medina Book 2 being studied here, sah? I advise the brothers to attend with our brother Jamal and man and Saifuddin, our dear beloved brothers from Medina. Benefit from them. Study these books with them. Benefit, because the Arabic language is very muhim, and it's from that khasa'is that we have, and that specific distinct virtue that we have over other nations. Naam. So the first he mentioned was isnad, that we have isnad. So it's important for us to study this. This is a virtue from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. And that's why we have to pay attention to the ilm of hadith. That's why we have to pay attention to the ilm of hadith. As for that which we're going to do today, which category of mu'alafat are we going to do? The masanid, the ma'ajim, the as-sihha, or the mukhtasarat ikhwan? We're going to deal with what? An example from the mukhtasarat. And that is al-bulugh al-maram, fi adilat al-ahkam, bulugh al-maram. And bulugh al-maram, the meaning of it, what? Is achieving or obtaining the objective. The meaning of bulugh al-maram is achieving or obtaining the objective. A, obtaining and achieving the objective in establishing the proofs as it relates to fiqh and Islamic jurisprudence, yani as it relates to ahkam. As it relates to ahkam, bulugh al-maram, achieving or obtaining the what? Objectives, intent, getting to the end of it through the hadith, the proofs and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what we're going to do now, inshallah ta'ala, is talk about, just briefly, his name, the mu'allif. Who's the mu'allif, ikhwan? Ahmed ibn Ali, ibn Muhammad, ibn Ali, ibn Ahmed, Abu al-Fadl, al-Kanani, al-Asqalani. That is Ahmed ibn Ali, Muhammad ibn Muhammad, Ali, ibn Ali, ibn Ahmed, Abu al-Fadl, al-Kanani, al-Asqalani. And that's, he's known as what? Ibn Hajar. He's known as Ibn Hajar. That's enough, inshallah, Ibn Hajar. Okay, but that's his name, rahimahullah ta'ala. And that's his name. Now we go to the next point, and that is understanding his book. Yani, Ta'rif al-Kitabi. Yani, having knowledge or understanding of his book that he compiled. As we said, he said his mukhtasarat. He himself said it. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutation, salam, salat to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives one tawfiq in seeking ilm, he says, amma ba'd. Amma ba'd. And amma ba'd, it means, when you say amma ba'd, it means that you're coming from one topic to another topic. So he started off with dua and salam, salah on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he said what? Amma ba'd, which means now I'm going to go into something else. To proceed onto another issue. So for example, I'm speaking to you now, and I don't want to discuss the issue of bulugh al-maram. I say amma ba'd, and I'll go into another topic. And linguistically, after amma ba'd, what comes after it? Which harf? Fa. After amma ba'd, what comes after it linguistically is fa. So he said, amma ba'd. Fahadha mukhtasarun. He said, fahadha mukhtasarun. He said, this is a summary or something summarized. What's hadha? Hadha is indicating to what? Ismu ishara li ba'id or qarib? Li qarib. This ismu ishara is to what? Fahadha. To what? To the book. So he's talking about the book that's close to him. This, that Baina Yadaik, this book that you have in front of you, this text or this compilation that you have in front of you is mukhtasara. It's summarized. It's not lengthy or detailed. It's summarized. He says, فَهَذَا مُخْتَسَرَ يَشْتَمِلْ عَلَى أُصُولِ الْأَدِلَّةِ الْحَدِيثِيَّةِ لِلْأَحْكَامِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ. He said that this summarized compilation comprises of the fundamentals of the proofs and extrapolations of the from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it relates to fiqh or ahkam, as it relates to issues of worship, as it relates to issues of worship that has been legislated. So what we can take from this, number one, is that he summarized this compilation. that he summarized this compilation. The second point that we can take is that it's dealing with what? Ahkam. It's dealing with what? Ahkam. Yani, fiqh, mu'amal, ibadat. He's dealing with actions of issues of worship. The actions, things that we do in order to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from salah, from tahara salah, from siyam, and so forth. Ash-shar'iyyah. He said, ash-shar'iyyah. Why did he say shar'iyyah? He said, those ahkam that are legislated, meaning from the revelation. Meaning from what? From the revelation. So that's number three. Meaning that is that which is legislated from that which is halal, permissible, that which is haram, impermissible, that which is wajib, obligatory, that which is mandub or mustahab, preferred, and that which is makruh or karahiyah, that which is disliked. It's not haram, but is what? Disliked. That's what the ahkam al-shar'iyyah is. And he's taken that from where? The book of Allah and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why did he mention shar'iyyah? He mentioned shar'iyyah in order to negate two things. He mentioned shar'iyyah in order to negate two things. The first thing he negated was al-adilla al-aqliyyah. Al-adilla al-aqliyyah. And that is proofs from what? The intellect. He's not about that in his compilation. It's all from the revelation. It's not from one's intellect. Oh, I think this, and then bang. Act upon it. No. It's dealing with the revelation of that Allah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And second thing that he's trying to take away is the adilla al-adiyya. Walaykum salam tala. The adilla al-adiyya, i.e. those normal practices, which is dealing specifically with tajarub, experiences, urf. He's not talking about that. He's talking strictly about the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the revelation, the one that doesn't speak from his what? Desires. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِي يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't speak from his desires, but rather it's a revelation revealed to him. And then he, rahimahullah ta'ala, after that, he mentions, this is point number five, I'd say, or four, point number five or four, where he says that he has compiled these narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so it's easy for the beginner. حَتَّى يَسْتَعِينَهُ يَسْتَعِينُ بِهِ الطَّالِبُ الْمُبْتَدِي. Not مُبْتَدِي, مُبْتَدِي. He said, so that the student of knowledge that is a beginner can use it as an aid in seeking ilm. He can rest upon it. He can use it to help him in his path of seeking knowledge. He has gathered these ahadith for that purpose. And he's also gathered it, لَوَلَا يَسْتَغْنِي عَنْهُ الطَّالِبْ الْمُنْتَهِ. And even the student of knowledge who is well grounded, he is not free from being in need of these narrations or this compilation. So therefore he's dealing in this compilation with two categories of students. He's dealing with the beginners, those students who have started in their طَلَبْ الْعِلْمِ, they started in seeking knowledge, for them to what? يَسْتَعِينُ بِهِ, use it to aid them. Use it to what? Aid them. And secondly, for the individual, the talib, that has some grounding, or he's well grounded, is all he cannot do without it, because it's revision for him as well. Because it's what? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمَنُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh you who believe, believe. You believe, but yet Allah is telling you to what? Believe. جَدَّدُوا إِمَانِكُمْ. So it's from the manners of the student of knowledge to not believe that, oh, I've got a bit of Arabic, I've studied book 1 and book 2 and book 3 of Medina, I've studied Ajrumiyya, Mutimma, Qatr al-Nada, Alfiyya, Yalla, Khalas. I don't need to study Umdat al-Ahkam, I don't need to study Bulugh al-Maram. No, you do. Because if you do know what it entails and the benefits from that compilation of hadith, it at least is for you what? Muraja. So that's why he said, وَلَا يَسْتَغْنِي عَنْهُ الرَّاغِبُ, not طَالِبُ, الرَّاغِبُ الْمُنْتَهِ. The individual is a student who wants to learn. He cannot do without this, even if he has some background or he's grounded. So the Sheikh, and this is explained by Sheikh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala. So the Sheikh, the Muallif, Ibn Hajar, he's compiled this in order for the student of knowledge to memorize it as well. So it's easy to memorize. You find it's easy to memorize. For the student of knowledge and for the one who knows already, it's a revision. Now we go on to the next point. And that is his manhaj. His methodology in gathering the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because as we're going to go through some of the ahadith, even though we're going to do one chapter in his book, which is Kitab al-Siyam, there are certain istilahat, the certain terminologies that he uses and certain methods that he uses that we need to be acquainted with in order to understand what he means. And this is the method of studying hadith. Because different ulama that we mentioned before that compiled the ahadith and the narrations, they have certain things that they have made specific for themselves while authoring or compiling the hadith so the reader can understand and stay with them. So when you buy a new book, read the muqaddimah, ikhwan. When you buy a new book, read the introduction. Read the what? Introduction. So then you can understand fully what is intended by the book being that you're reading or that you've bought. And you can benefit more so. So we're going to deal with some points dealing with his manhaj in his ta'lif or his methodology in authoring his book. I do advise you to write it down. Okay? And I'll repeat it inshallah ta'ala. Number one, from his manhaj in Bulugh Maram Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, bayyanu أقبى كل حديث من أخرجه من الأئمة. So number one is that at the end of each hadith, at the end of each hadith, he will mention who from the ulama of hadith have taken or have placed that narration in their compilations. Okay? So he will mention at the end of the hadith, those scholars from hadith who compiled books of hadith, who have place this narration in their compilations. So he may say, أخرجه البخاري, for example. So he says, Bukhari extracted this, meaning it's in Sahih al-Bukhari. Why did he say this? He said, I do this, لِإِرَادَةِ النُّسْح. I did this as with the intention, Ibn Hajar, he said, I did this with the intention of giving advice to the reader. And Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-muhaddith, don't forget. Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, that this nasiha is from the way of the Aimmat al-Hadith, is from the way of the people of Hadith, in that they wouldn't just mention a narration, but rather they mention where it came from. And the perfection of that nus, and the perfection of that kind gesture, or kind nasiha, and advice, and aid, is by mentioning the what? Isnad. Is by mentioning the isnad. But Ibn Hajar has already excused himself from that. Why? Because he said it's what? Mukhtasar. He's told you what he's doing. Mukhtasar. So you can what? Memorize it. So you can? Memorize it. Easier for you to memorize and so forth. So he will mention at the end of each hadith, those from the Aimmat al-Hadith who have placed that hadith in their books. Number two, ويتكلم في درجة الحديث, and he will speak about the level of the authenticity of the hadith, whether it's authentic, whether it's weak, or whether it's sound. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll get to the definition of these istilahat of that he will use as well. Inshallah, these terminology that he will use, yani meaning sahih, we'll define sahih, we'll define hasan, and we'll define da'if. Inshallah, today at the end. So he will give you a hadith and say it's sahih. Or it's what? Hasan, or it is da'if. Okay? Or it is what? Da'if. It's authentic, it's sound, or it's weak. So he's promised that's what he's going to do. And when the ulama, they do this, they are promising you that when you read, I'm going to do this. Kullu bani adam khata'un. We all make mistakes. So sometimes you find they don't do it all the time. Okay? But that's from the benefits of studying these books. Because some of the ulama, when they explain this, they point to that which he hasn't given a ruling on, and then they'll aid by giving a ruling for the students of knowledge to benefit from that as well. Number three. Now, number three is more in depth now. We've dealt with his how he's going to mention where the narrations came from, which books and so forth. Number three now is dealing with how he gathers these books, because he has a methodology in gathering these books into groups. These books of hadith, he gathers them into books, into groups. So he says, when he says, وَأَخْرَجُهُ السَّبَعُ, when he says that the seven placed it in their books, he means this seven. So when he says السَّبَعُ, he won't mention their names. He'll just say what? السَّبَعُ, which means the seven. Yani the seven that you and I know from when I told you in my muqaddimah, in my introduction, that this is how it goes. Number one is the musnad of Imam Ahmed. So it's Imam Ahmed, number one. And number two is Al-Bukhari. And number three is Muslim. And number four is Abu Dawood. And number five is Tirmidhi. And number six is Ibn Majah. Have I said Nasa'i? And number seven is... No, sorry. Number six is Nasa'i and number seven is Ibn Majah. So it's Ahmed, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, and who? Ibn Majah. This is when Ibn Hajar in Bulugh al-Maram, when we studied the book of Siyam, where he said, Rawahu as-Saba', this is who he means. He won't mention the names, he'll just say what? Seba. So I don't need to tell you what. In fact, I would be asking you, as we go through these narrations, who is intended by Seba. Because we've done it before, as a method of revision. Number two, if he says, As-Sitta. When he says, Rawahu akhrajuhu as-Sitta. What does he intend by that? He means everyone else except for Imam Ahmed. So when he says, أخرجه الستة, he means everyone else except for Imam Ahmed. So who does he mean, Ikhwan? Yalla, who can tell me? Bukhari. Muslim. Abu Dawood. Tirmidhi. Nisai and Ibn Majah. Mumtaz. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do now is give you the rumuz. Because from the students of hadith, we must understand how the scholars of hadith have given small codes for each of the books of compilations. So for example, Imam Ahmed is Ha Mim. So write down Imam Ahmed, Musnad Imam Ahmed, and write the letter Ha and Mim together, not separate. Ha Mim. So that is the sign of what? Imam Ahmed. So if you see in Bulugh al-Maram, he says Ha Mim. Who is he meaning? Imam Ahmed. Okay, and if you see him, he puts a sign of Kha. Who is he meaning? Bukhari. Kha, Kha. He means who? Bukhari. Mim. Mim is who? Muslim. Dal. Yani da is who? Abu Dawood. Noon. Nasa'i. Qaf, Qazwiji, yalla, who's he? Ibn Majah, because of his qabila, he's put Qaf, Qa. So Qaf is who? Imam Ahmed. So Ha Mim is who, Ikhwan? Ah. Kha is who? Mim. Dal. Noon. Ta. Qaf. Huh? Hab, ha and ba. Huh? Who said it? Ibn Hibban, naam. Just thought I'd just cause a bit of tashwish there anyway. Okay. But he doesn't mention that one. We're not talking about that. I just thought I'd just drop put that in. Okay, so basically these rumors is what the ulama of hadith generally have used, okay? In their books you find them, they put ha, rawahu ha, kha, ma. So they don't have to put Bukhari, put Muslim, yeah? Just to summarize it. They've used those removes. So it's important for the student of knowledge to know that. Tayyip. So if he then says, so we mentioned if he says sitta, if he says khamsa, If he says khamsa, it means everyone except for Bukhari and Muslim. So if he says akhrajuhu al-khamsa, which means five, the five narrated it. It means everyone except for Bukhari and Muslim. So who does it mean? Imam Ahmed, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Abu Dawood, and Ibn Majah. These are the five. Khamsa, inda Ibn Hajar. Not everyone has this, but it's just specifically here for Ibn Hajar in his Bulugh al-Maram. Okay. The next one is, if he says, Akhrajuhu al-Arba wa Ahmed. Akhrajuhu al-Arba wa Ahmed. Who's Arba? Abu Dawood, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, and Tirmidhi. So the four, if he says, Akhrajuhu, the four of them narrated this, or extracted this, and Imam Ahmed. He doesn't say five. Why? He says four and Imam Ahmed. He doesn't say five because Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala al-Muhaddith, he said that maybe the reason why he mentioned four and then Ahmed is that he realized afterwards that Ahmed had the same narration. That it came to him later. He came to him when? Later, that Imam Ahmed also narrated it. So he put them in that category. Okay? After he's done his manhaj. After he's done his manhaj. So when he says Arba wa Ahmed, it means Hamim and who? Dal and Ta and Qaf and Noon. Ahsantum. Good. Okay, the next one he says Al Arba. Who do you think? Did I see? Have we done Arba? We done Arba instead of Ahmed. Okay. Okay. So who's Arba then? The Sunan. And that is Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, and Ibn Majah. Mumtaz. Akhrajuhu thalatha. Three. Who are the three? Huh? Ahsant. Good. Which is Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i. Okay. Finally, if he says Muttafiq alayh, it means what? Bukhari and Muslim. So whenever you see in any book of hadith, where they say muttafaq alayh, it means what? And nothing else? The grandfather of Ibn Taymiyyah, Majd Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book of hadith, Al-Muntaqa, okay? In his book of hadith, according to him, Al-Muttafaq alayh is Musnad Imam Ahmed, Bukhari and Muslim. So it's not in every book you find that. Which is important to read the what? The muqaddimah of the books that we read and we buy. The introduction is there for a reason. It's an introduction to warm you into that which follows. So according to Ibn Hajar in Bulugh, if he says muttafaq alayh, then it means Bukhari and Muslim. This is generally what most of the ulama consider as muttafaq alayh, which means agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. But others, such as Majd ibn Taymiyyah, which is the grandfather of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Kitab al-Muntaqa, he says that al-muttafiq alayh is who? Hamim, Hamim, Kha, and Mim. Ahmed, Bukhari, and Musnad. And then finally, Ibn Hajar, he adds an extra point into his methodology. He says, وَقَدْ لَا أَذْكُرْ مَعَهُمَا غَيْرِهِمَا وَقَدْ لَا أَذْكُرْ مَعَهُمَا غَيْرِهِمَا. He said that maybe I will just mention those two alone and not others. Meaning that maybe he just mentioned Bukhari and Muslim. So therefore we can write for the final point, he can say that he will mention, or the second final point, he'll say he will mention just Bukhari and Muslim sometimes, but it doesn't mean it's not found elsewhere. So sometimes he'll mention Bukhari and Muslim, but it doesn't mean it's not found elsewhere. And finally, the last point, he says, وَعَدَ ذَٰلِكَ فَهُوَ مُبَيِّن مَا عَدَى سَبَعْ. And after that, if there are narrations in his book Bulugh Maram, where the seven are not mentioned. It's not from the books of the seven, he'll mention them. So it could be Ibn Hibban. Habba. Ha and Ba. It could be Ibn Hibban. It could be from another, from the Musnad of Abi Ya'la. He may mention other ulama who have compiled hadith other than those mentioned. But these are the main ones. Okay. To wrap up, inshallah ta'ala, are we clear on that, Ikhwan? So every time we go through the narrations and these things come up, we will revise them, inshallah. So don't worry, inshallah ta'ala. Okay. Also, what I think is important for us to know, after being purifying our intentions and understanding the importance of seeking knowledge of hadith and understanding the book of hadith and those books that have been compiled and understanding the methodology or the person who authored this book and his manhaj in his book, we also need to know the definition of some of the rulings that are given to narrations. We're going to mention three main ones. And the three main rulings that are given to a hadith, so when we read that it says sahih, we know what sahih means. When it says hasan, we know what hasan means. And when it says da'if, we know what da'if means. And sometimes he'll bring statements of Tirmidhi as well, with which is specific for Tirmidhi, and we will deal with those as well. It's all a learning process, inshallah ta'ala, and revision for those who know. So what's the definition of sahih? I'll just go to the straight definition, because the ulama have differed as it relates to that. But the straight definition is مَتَّصَلَ إِسْنَادُهُ an عَادِلٍ دَابِتٍ an مِثْلِهِ إِلَى مُنْتَهَاهُ وَلَا يَكُونَ شَاذًا وَلَا مُعَلَّلًا. Five things. And that is مَتَّصَلَ, that which is linked, connected. There's no gaps. مُتَّصَل. So that's number one. That's the first condition of a sahih hadith. For a hadith that is authentic, the first condition is that it has to be mutasil. It has to be connected. Matasala isnaduhu an adilin. In that isnad, it must be a trustworthy narrator. And what's the meaning of trustworthy narrator? Generally, a trustworthy narrator means that he doesn't make any mistakes. But he's known to be somebody who's pious. And some of the ulama have mentioned very stringent definition of adil. But Sheikh Abdullah Bukhari, Hafizullah Ta'ala, when we're dealing with some of his mustalahats and stuff like that, he mentioned a very good point, that it doesn't mean that he's free from error. It doesn't mean that he's free from error. But he's generally known to be somebody who's trustworthy. So the first is mutasil, connected. The second is what? Adil. And dabitin. Dabit means what? He's precise, or he's accurate. And dabit is of two categories. He's precise, meaning that when he's asked to relay the hadith, he relays it verbally as it's narrated to him. Okay? And the second category of that is that if he's narrated it and he's written it in his book, he looks after his book. He doesn't just leave it here and walk off and come back and then he's gone. So he's precise, and he preserves the narration in his heart, in his memory, and he can bring it precisely how it's been narrated. And also, if it's written in a book, he looks after what? The book, for example. So the third one is dhabt. And mithlihi ila muntaha. So it has to continue with that. The person who is trustworthy and precise, the rest of the isnad has to continue like this. Wala yakunu shadhan. And it is not shadh. He's not odd. The narrator is not odd. Your question is, what does odd mean? Mukhalafatil maqbool liman huwa awthaq minhu. مُخَالَفَةِ الْمَقْبُولِ لِمَنْ هُوَ أَوْثَقُ مِنْهُ. Odd means, for the ilm of hadith, that is differing in your narrations with those who are stronger than you, from those whose narrations are accepted. For example, you have Abdullah, Ahmed, Yunus, and Badr. Badr is a strong narrator, and so is Yunus. And Abdullah, and that's no offense to any Abdullah here, And Abdullah, he narrates narrations that opposes them. And he's weaker than them. So he's what's he fallen into now? Being what? Shadh, odd. And that is differing with those who, from differing with accepted narrators, maqbool, not da'if narrators. Differing with accepted narrators who are more stronger than him, That's shadh. That has to be free for a hadith. It mustn't happen for a hadith to be sahih. وَلَا مُعَلَّلَا And mu'allal is very obscure. It must be free from obscure deficiencies. The chain must be free from what? Obscure deficiencies. And this obscure deficiency is something which very few people are able to find. And that's the ulama of hadith. Very mu'allala. It means obscure discrepancies. Bad effects. Okay? Bad effects. Okay? That are very khafi. It's not clear. Problems in isnad that are not clear. Okay? That's, it means mu'allal. For example, if it's mutarib, for example, and if it's mudraj. Huh? Like mudallis. You could be mudallis. It could be. Or for example, if somebody speaks, he's narrating with the Prophet, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he enters his narration or his words within the hadith. He says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, and then as he's saying what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he adds his own word by accident. You catch it? Is this clear or discreet? Is it clear or discreet? It's discreet. So it's only the people of ulama of hadith that are able to identify these discrepancies, okay? So what are the five conditions, quickly, for sahih? Quickly. Number one, it has to be what? Linked, connected. There mustn't be inqita, there mustn't be any gaps between the narrations. Any one narrator is from the first generation, second generation, and the second one is from the fourth. Is that linked or is it a gap? There's a gap. Okay, second condition. Huh? He must be trustworthy. Third condition. He must be precise in his memory when he relays and in his book when he preserves it. Yes? Because some ulama narrated from their books, not from their memory. Or what they wrote, yani. The fourth one, is not odd, shadh. And what does shadh mean? Who can tell me? Are we clear on what shadh means? What does odd mean? Does it mean that he just looks strange? He mustn't contradict or oppose who? Accepting narrators, not just accepting narrators that are what? Stronger than him. Accepted narrators that are stronger than him. Mukhalafatil maqbool liman huwa awthaqu minhu. Mukhalafa means what? Contradiction. Maqbool is what? Accepted narrator. Not a weak narrator. An accepted narrator. Liman huwa awthaqu minhu. Awthaq means what? More, stronger, or trustworthy than him. And the final one. Akhi, the final one, number five. Bad, discreet discrepancies. Okay? Yes. So it's not clear effects or discrepancies. Something that's khafi, hidden, like we mentioned. And this shows you the intricacy of the ilm of hadith. So when you hear him in Bulugh Maram, hadith sahih, he's saying that it fulfills these five conditions. Second one is Hassan. Is this long-winded, Ikhwan? Okay, the second one is Hassan. We just have Hassan and Daif, and then we leave it, inshallah, for today. The second one is Hassan. Hassan is مَتَّصَلَ سَنَدُهُ أَنْ عَادَلٍ خَفِيفِ الضَّبْطِ وَلَا يَكُونُ شَاذًا إِلَى مِثْلِهِ إِلَى مُنْتَهَى وَلَا يَكُونُ شَاذًا وَلَا مُعَلَّلَ. So it's the same as the first definition. Again, the chain is what? What's the chain? Number one is connected. Is what? Connected. There's no gap. It's linked. Number two, he's what? Adil. He's a trustworthy narrator. The second one is talking about his position. Is his position strong or weak? His position in here is what? Or his memory or his heft is what? Weak. It's not. What I mean is, it's not weak. I don't like to use the word weak. It's not as strong as the first category. It's not as strong as the first category. Khafif al-dhabt. Yani, it's labat. It's alright. Meshi. We'll let you off. يعني. It's okay. It's what? It's not fantastic, but it's what? Okay. خفيف الضبط. Okay. Next conditions. It's not what? Shadh. And we know what shadh is. Odd. And it's not, it doesn't have any illa in it. And it doesn't have any discrepancies, hidden discrepancies. It doesn't have any hidden discrepancies. So that's the hadith Hassan. So when Hafiz ibn Hajar in Bulugh Maram, he says it's Hassan, what is he saying? That it's not sahih. Why isn't it sahih? What does he lack? Dabt. When what's that? Precision either from Kitabah or from his memory. Huh? Yeah? Daif. The third one is daif. Weak. To make it easy, ma'ada ma sabak. Ma'ada ma sabak. And that is everything else apart from the ones we mentioned. Okay? Wa lahu aqsamun kuthur. And he has many, many examples of daif. And it's not acceptable. Okay, generally, da'if is non-acceptable. I'm not going to go into, obviously, there's more elaboration in these categories, but generally, in Bulugh al-Maram, you see sahih, hasan, or da'if. If it's da'if, he's saying it's not authentic. If it's hasan, he's saying it's sound, not excellent, because somebody's got a weaker memory in there. And if he says it's sahih, it means that it's strong. All the narrators there are strong and fulfill the five conditions. That's generally what we'll discuss, inshallah ta'ala, as it relates to an introduction or the introduction to Bulugh al-Maram. And it's important that we have all of these, inshallah ta'ala, we understand these things as we go through the book. Finally, what I'd like to discuss is that we have studied throughout the years, what have we studied regarding Kitab al-Siyam? We've done what? In Dar al-Sunnah, what have we done? Umdah. We've done Umdah, yes? Why? What is from what we've studied today relates to Bulugh al-Maram, what's the differences or the extra things that Bulugh al-Maram can give us? We studied Umdah al-Ahkam before, the Book of Fasting, but what extra things do we have with Bulugh? Now, in Umdah al-Ahkam, all the narrations are either Bukhari or Muslim, or both of them. So they're all authentic. They're all what? Authentic. But Bulugh al-Maram, did he say that they're all going to be authentic? No. So in that you have hadith Hassan sometimes, you have hadith da'if, and you have hadith sahih. And this is extra benefit in mustalah hadith. And this is extra benefit that we can gain from studying the science of hadith. So Bulugh al-Maram brings that extra. So even though it has weak hadith, it's not a negative thing as such. In that it allows a student of knowledge to be acquainted with the aqsam and different categories of the ilm of hadith. So there is a benefit of studying Bulugh al-Maram. And also, in Bulugh al-Maram, the fiqh of Ibn Hajar, his understanding, his opinions, sometimes can come out. So we're not just doing Umdat al-Ahkam with a different name. Okay? This is completely... It's the same as you find some of the hadith are the same, but you also find some weak hadith and then some hasan hadith, inshallah ta'ala. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq in that which we're going to, inshallah, study from this amazing compilation of hadith. Inshallah, we're going to use benefits from Subul Salam, from Sanani, and also Sheikh Muthaymin has an amazing explanation of Bulugh al-Maram. And who else? Sheikh Saleh Fawzan. We're going to use Sheikh Saleh Fawzan's as well, inshallah. Take benefit from here and there, inshallah. And I know today was a long lesson, but in future I'm going to try and limit the lesson to about 35 minutes, 40 minutes, inshallah. But because of today's importance, the importance of the introduction, I decided to finish, you know. What's the main book that you'll be taking? Sheikh Mufaymin's. Fath al-Jalli. Yeah, I'll be taking a lot from Sheikh Muthaymin's and Saleh Fawzan's as well. I know the thing about Subul Salam is nice as well as a summary, summarized as well. Now. Yeah, I mean, sometimes a hadith could be da'if to him, but he's trying to say, for example, sometimes they bring weak hadith to say that there is a weak hadith that can, you know, because some weak hadith can be supported. So then, if a weak hadith is supported, it becomes what? Hasan li ghayrihi. And Hasan li ghayrihi, which means it's sound, not because of his own self, but rather from something else that helped him. Yeah? So his origin is da'if, is weak, but because it's been given assistance from other narrations, which are stronger and similar meaning, it what? So from shawahid and mutaba'at. Shawahid and mutaba'at. And those things that attest to that narration to bring it up to a level where it's acceptable. It happens. And sometimes, you know, like it's also some of the ulama, they put the hadith da'if in there as a dirasa, so you can study sometimes the reason why it's da'if, and then you learn the science of hadith. So this book is quite good for that. Some of the ulama have put, like, Bazaar, he's put in his compilation just weak narrations and hasan narrations, because you need to know where they are at least. Yeah? Araftu shar lali shar walakin tawaqi, you know? Yeah.
Is that something that even a beginner can come and benefit from?
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. It depends on how deep you go into the shahr. We're gonna deal with it. Sheikh Ubaid's got a very nice simplistic shahr. And also Sheikh Muhammad Aman Ajami, his shahr is mashallah. It's nice. We deal with it bit by bit, inshallah. If it's too difficult, we can change the book, it's no problem, inshallah. Generation. He's from the ninth generation, Hijri. No. 850 something, let me see. Can't remember, I think it's 850 something. Yeah, but he's from the ninth generation. Okay, جزاكم الله خير وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين.